I read to you Psalm 72 verses 8 to 20. We stopped at verse 7 last time, so we'll continue from verses 8 to 20, Psalm 72. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live, may gold of Sheba be given to him, may prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be abundance of grain in the land, on the tops of the mountains may it wave, may its fruit be like Lebanon, and may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him, all nations call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Now, when we began our study in Psalm 72 last Wednesday, we mentioned that this psalm could have been written by David for Solomon, because we read in verse 20 of the psalm, Psalm 72 verse 20, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. We also mentioned that it could have been written by Solomon himself, since the inscription of the psalm could be translated as a psalm of Solomon. Now, if Solomon did write this psalm, then it had to be in the early years of his reign, because in the later years he turned away from the Lord. But we see beyond both David and Solomon. Here in the psalm we see the son of David, the one greater than Solomon. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Psalm 72 verse 1, give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. Matthew chapter 12 verse 42, the queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. This psalm is not quoted in the New Testament as referring to Jesus, but certainly it describes the elements that will make up the promised kingdom when Jesus returns. And we began last Wednesday to look at these elements that make this promised kingdom. What are the elements that make this promised kingdom? Number one, a righteous king. Psalm 72 verses 1 to 7. Number two, a universal dominion. Psalm 72 verses 8 to 11. Number three, a compassionate reign. Psalm 72 verses 12 to 14. And number four, a prosperous nation. Psalm 72 verses 15 to 17. Now, we looked at verses 1 to 7 last Wednesday, and today we will begin with the universal dominion of the king, verses 8 to 11 in Psalm 72. God promised Abraham that he would give his descendants all the land from the river of Egypt in the south to the Euphrates in the north. Genesis chapter 15 verse 18. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham saying, to your offspring I will give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river of Euphrates. Then he reaffirmed this promise through Moses. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 31, and I will set your border from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness to the Euphrates, for I will give the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. Both David and Solomon ruled over great kingdoms. Large kingdoms. We read of Solomon's kingdom in 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 21. Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates to the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 24. For he had dominion over all the region west of the Euphrates from Tifsa to Gaza, over all the kings west of the Euphrates, and he had peace on all sides around him. 2 Chronicles chapter 9 verse 26. And he ruled over all the kings from the Euphrates to the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. But neither did David nor Solomon rule from the river, which is Euphrates, to the ends of the earth. Psalm 72 verse 8. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The river mentioned here is the river Euphrates. This privilege is reserved only for the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah. Psalm 2 verse 8. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. The Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will reign from the river Euphrates to the ends of the earth. From the river, that is Euphrates, to the ends of the earth. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 to 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Again in Micah chapter 4 verses 1 to 5. Micah chapter 4 verses 1 to 5. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and people shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and shall decide disputes for strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all the peoples walk each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. And this prophecy is repeated in Isaiah chapter 2 verses 1 to 4. Now, look at the promise given to Mary, the mother of Jesus, by the angel Gabriel. Luke chapter 1 verses 31 to 33. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, David gained the kingdom through conquest. He fought battles and he gained the kingdom. And then he left the kingdom to his son, Solomon. Solomon strengthened his kingdom by means of treaties. His marriages to the daughters of neighboring kings were all guarantees that these nations would cooperate with Solomon's foreign policy. Even Sheba and the nomadic tribes in Arabia, they would pay tribute to Solomon. And so would Seba in Upper Egypt. And kings as far away as Tarshish in Spain, they would submit to Solomon. And you can read about Solomon's reign in 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 21, verse 24, chapter 10 verses 14 to 15, and verses 24 to 25, chapter 10. and 2 Chronicles chapter 9 verses 23 to 24. All of these marriage connections finally led Solomon away from the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 11 verses 3 to 4. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. What happened? Solomon's kingdom was divided after his death. There is only one King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His dominion will be a universal dominion. Daniel chapter 7 verses 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Revelation chapter 17 verse 14. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. Revelation chapter 19 verse 16. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, there can be no peace on earth until the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, until he reigns and the nations submit to him. Then, his reign will be a compassionate reign. That's the third element we see in the psalm. The reign of the Messiah on earth will be a compassionate reign. Psalm 72 verses 12 to 14. For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. The King of Israel was looked upon as God's shepherd. He was the anointed king. He was God's shepherd who lovingly cared for God's flock. That's how he was looked upon. Psalm 78 verses 70 to 72. He chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people, Israel his inheritance. With upright heart he shepherded them and guided them with a skillful hand. In Ezekiel chapter 34, we find God is condemning the shepherds of Israel, the leaders. They had no concern for the flock and they exploited the flock. Ezekiel chapter 34 verses 9 to 10. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths that they may not be food for them. God then says in Ezekiel chapter 34 verses 15 to 16, God saying, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. In Psalm 100 and verse 3, we read, Psalm 100 verse 3, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Any citizen was supposed to have access to the king, to the King of Israel, to get help in solving legal problems, and the king was to make certain that the local judges were being fair and honest in their decisions. Now, Solomon did not reach this ideal because even though he had a vast bureaucracy, some of his officers didn't always aid the people. In fact, they oppressed them. And Solomon writes in the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 1, "Again, I saw all the oppressions that are under the sun, and behold, the tears of the oppressed, and they had no one to comfort them. On the side of their oppressors, there was power, and there was no one to comfort them." The picture here in Psalm 72, verses 12 to 14, is surely that of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. He had such great compassion for the needy, and he met each one at their point of need. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Psalm 116 verse 15. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Psalm 72 verse 14. "From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight." The Lord Jesus not only holds their blood, meaning their life, precious to him, but he himself shed his own precious blood for the salvation of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 to 19. "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." Psalm 72 verse 14. "From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight." The word redeem is also translated as rescue in the New American Standard Bible and also in the NIV. ESV, it is translated as redeem. It is used for the kinsman redeemer, and you find that illustrated by Boaz in the book of Ruth. The Lord Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. He took upon himself human flesh in his incarnation, and he shed his blood on the cross to redeem us. Finally, we see a prosperous nation. Psalm 72 verses 15 to 17. "God's covenant with Israel assured them of prosperity so long as the rulers and the people obeyed his commandments. The Lord assured David that he would always have an heir to his throne." 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 16. "And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Now, because of the promise of the coming Savior, it was important that the Davidic dynasty should continue. Because the Lord said, "And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me." That means the Messiah will come through the line of David. But in the case of Jesus, you find that he reigns according to the power of an endless life. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 16. "Who has become a priest, not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life." You see, Jesus is himself life. He is a life giver. John 14 verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Anyone who believes in him has eternal life and abundant life. 1 John chapter 5 verses 11 and 12. "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." John chapter 10 verse 10. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." So he gives us eternal life and abundant life. And he's alive forever. When John saw the risen and exalted Christ, we read in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 to 18. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. He is also king forever. Psalm 72, verse 17. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him, all nations call him blessed. The Lord Jesus was crucified, but he rose again, and he ascended into heaven. He is exalted, he is seated at the right hand of God. You see, some of the names in the headlines today, in the newspaper, in the news, they will be forgotten. A few months from now, they'll be forgotten. But not so with Jesus. He has an enduring name. May his name endure forever. Psalm 72 verse 17. He has an enduring name. A name that is above every name. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So he has an enduring name. He has an enriching name. May people be blessed in him. All nations call him blessed. Psalm 72 verse 17. May people be blessed in him. All nations call him blessed. The names of some people don't bring blessing. You will never call your son Judas. You will never call your daughter Jezebel. The names of some people don't bring blessing. But we have been blessed in the name of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. His name is an enduring name. His name is an enriching name. His name is an enabling name. Psalm 72 verse 18. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. God enables us through the name of Jesus to do wonderful things. Look at Acts chapter 3 verse 6. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What a privilege it is to know his name. What a privilege it is to have the authority of his name as we pray and as we serve him. There is no other name like Jesus. His name is full of authority and power. It is enduring and brings blessing and enables us to do his will. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans chapter 10 verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Israel's prosperity would be not only political. Yes, the Messiah will be their king. But the nation will also prosper economically and spiritually. We find gold and prayer mentioned in Psalm 72 verse 15. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There will be agricultural prosperity, thriving crops. Psalm 72 verse 16. May there be abundance of grain in the land. On the tops of the mountains may it wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon. And may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. Now, in fulfillment of his covenant with Abraham, we read that in Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 to 3. In fulfillment of that covenant with Abraham, God will bless all the nations through Israel. He has done this in sending Jesus Christ into the world to be our Savior and Lord. We already have a foretaste of that glory. Galatians chapter 3 verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, In you shall all the nations be blessed. Galatians chapter 3 verse 14. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Psalm 72 verses 18 and 19. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prophets wrote of this glorious kingdom, and their prophecies will be fulfilled. Read Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 60 to 62. Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48. Amos chapter 9 verses 11 to 15. Micah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 10 and chapter 14. When you read these chapters, you will see the glory of his kingdom. The prophets write about the glory of God's kingdom on earth. All those prophecies will be fulfilled. There will be abundant grain even on top of the hills in the most unproductive land. Actually, Israel suffered with a lack of water. But today, Israel is so prosperous agriculturally, that it's such a prosperous nation. Psalm 72 verse 16. The grain fields will look like the forests of the cedars in Lebanon. 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 33. Psalm 72 verse 18-19. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Now this closing benediction, verses 18 and 19, is not a part of the psalm proper, but forms the conclusion in the second book of the book of Psalms. And now we're coming to that conclusion. We find these benedictions at the end of each of the four books of Psalms. You find it in Psalm 41 verse 13, Psalm 89 verse 52, Psalm 106 verse 48. In all of these four books of Psalms, you find these benedictions. It's a fitting conclusion because it focuses on the glory of the Lord. Solomon's kingdom had its share of glory, but the glory did not last. When the Lord Jesus reigns on earth, the glory of God will be revealed as never before. Numbers chapter 14 verse 21. But truly as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. When Isaiah saw the vision of the Lord, he saw and heard the seraphim crying out. We read in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 3. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 9. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 40 verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Isaac Watts, he's a famous hymn writer, he used this psalm, Psalm 72, as the basis for his great hymn, Jesus Shall Reign. I read you the first verse. Jesus shall reign wherever the sun does its successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. Jesus shall reign wherever the sun does its successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. We must never stop praying, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The coming of Christ into the world manifested the kingdom of God in this world. The kingdom of God is the reign of Christ. This reign began with the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, and that reign will continue, and it will come to its climax with his millennial reign on earth. In his first coming, the king died, rose again, ascended into heaven, and he is today building his church on earth. But he is coming again. He is coming again to reign in righteousness on earth. Today, he strengthens us, his church. He strengthens us from the riches of his glory so that we can live out his kingdom purposes on earth. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. So we are empowered by the Holy Spirit who lives in us because we are born of God, because we are born again. When we constantly listen to the Holy Spirit who speaks to us through his word, we live a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit, a life that is controlled by the Holy Spirit, and this brings glory to God, manifesting His kingdom, His presence, His love, His power, wherever God places us. From the riches of His glory, He provides for every need of ours, so that we can fulfill His kingdom purposes in our lives. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In His second coming, He will establish complete rule and reign on earth. Until then, He has placed us, His church, as His ambassadors. I told you last Wednesday, He has placed us, His church, as His ambassadors to manifest His rule in our lives. We said last time, He appeals through us to the people of this world to accept Him as Savior and Lord of their lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Our lives and our message must be an exemplary witness of Christ in this dark world. Believers in Christ are kings and priests. We are manifesting His kingdom wherever God places us. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So, wherever there is the manifestation of His kingdom, righteousness and peace and joy is evident. Romans chapter 14 verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. His power is also made manifest where His kingdom is seen. Where His kingdom is manifest, His power is manifest. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 20. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. This increase of His kingdom will indeed climax when He comes. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11 verse 20, But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. You see, the kingdom of God has come upon us. He sends us, His believers, into the world to manifest His kingdom. We are called to be the light of the world. We are called to be the salt of the earth, manifesting God's kingdom. Matthew chapter 5 verses 13 to 16, You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When Christ reigns as Lord in our lives, He will manifest His kingdom through us wherever He places us. Luke chapter 9 verse 2. And He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Matthew chapter 10 verses 7 to 8. And proclaim as you go, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Every spiritual and material resource that we need to fulfill His kingdom purposes is provided to believers who seek His kingdom first. So, let's fix our eyes on His kingdom purposes. Don't live for the bread that perishes. Don't live for the bread that perishes. Live for the bread of life. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes on His kingdom purposes. Live for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.